Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. We'll read the entire chapter of Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has caused the iniquity of all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper his hand as a result of the anguish of his soul. He will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Amen. Amen. So Isaiah was a prophet and probably one of the most famous prophets in the Old Testament. Him and Jeremiah were probably two of the most famous, especially when we're talking about the major prophets. And this prophecy came about 700 years before the coming of Christ. And so if you guys don't know, this is actually one of the most famous, prophecies of Christ that comes from Isaiah, because it really gives a description of what Christ is going to do for his people and God bringing his people back to him. But just to give you a little bit of background before I kind of go into it, so if we can remember basically what was happening in Israel at this time. And so before Isaiah actually comes onto the scene, about 150 years before, if we can remember, David, remember, he unites the 12 tribes of Israel, and it becomes one kingdom under David. And after David, Solomon takes over, because God promised David that, you know, one of his sons is going to take the heir. And so Solomon takes over. But if we remember, Solomon ends up sinning greatly. Remember, God tells him, don't marry outside of Israel. And he does this, not only to one wife, he marries hundreds of wives outside of Israel. And we remember what happens is when he marries these wives, he ends up bringing in many different religions into Israel. And so one of them being the worship of Molech. Remember, you have to, in order to worship him, or this idol, this god, you actually have to sacrifice babies and whatnot. And this is one of the many that he ended up bringing in. There were like the Asher poles and whatnot. So many, many different religions from Assyria and all these different places. And so because of this, the people of Israel end up falling away from God. They end up starting to worship other things. And because they start worshiping other gods, gods turn into idols. Idols turn into a self-centered life. They turn into wealth, all these sort of things. And so God is no longer the center of their attention. And Isaiah comes in the middle of this. And so if we can take a step back, Isaiah, he was at first a really, a really well-liked prophet. And when he started his ministry, like any prophet, he started, even though the books don't really reflect him, many of the scholars believe that at the beginning of his ministry, people liked him. You know, he would bring the word of God. He was recognized as a prophet for the people. But what happened was that quickly, Israel ended up hating him. And the reason is because he started prophesying a lot of destruction. I mean, the first chapter of Isaiah, he talks about how God has had enough with you people. And so he's going to destroy you. And so what happened was that before he prophesies about Christ, he starts telling them, hey, look, if you don't turn back from your ways, you're going to be destroyed. And so what happens? 20 years after he started his ministry, Israel, the northern kingdom, remember, was divided into two, Israel of two tribes, 10 tribes of Judah. And so what happened was that 20 years after, Israel gets annihilated by Assyria. So Assyria is north of them, and they come down, they basically destroy them, and Israel is no more. And so what this prophecy is for is really for the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, because about 200 years after this prophecy comes, Babylon comes, and they destroy the southern kingdom of Israel, which is Judah. And so if we were to look at this prophecy, right, if we were to look at the people of the time, Israel actually really hated Isaiah in this prophecy. And the reason is because the people have already gone their ways. They have already decided to believe what they wanted to believe. They have already left God. They have already decided that we're going to live self-centered lives versus then Christ-centered, or God, well, not Christ-centered, at the time God-centered lives. And so when Isaiah comes onto the scene, he's telling them, hey guys, you need to turn back. You need to follow God again. You need to figure out, you need to realize that what you're doing is not good. And so people hated him. And they looked at Isaiah as this guy. He's like, why are you telling us this stuff? Why are you spoiling our fun? Why are you, you know, telling us these signs of destruction, right? Obviously, they're not happening. So why are you doing this? But really, what was Isaiah really, right? I mean, if we were to take a look at this prophetic message from him, the people of that time hated him. But what Isaiah really was a representation of God's love. And if I was to give an example, and whenever I think of a prophetic word like this, right, I always think of it this way. People thought, why are you trying to keep me from enjoying my life? Isaiah, why are you trying to keep me from going after the things that I think is right? Right? And I mean, if I was to put it into this modern day context for us, it would be like us telling a prophet, why are you trying to keep me from running after my career? Why are you trying to keep me from enjoying the life that I have? Why are you trying to tell me to turn away from whatever it is that we're doing, right? I mean, the big thing these days is, you know, the whole thing about the homosexuality thing. I'm not going to get into it. You know, PCM already touched on it. Why are you trying to tell me it's wrong to live this way, right? And so our response is like this because our hearts really don't understand God's heart. But when to God, I mean, we look at Isaiah this way. You know how God looks at Isaiah? God looks at Isaiah as like his message of love. And I mean, the way I always look at it when I look at these prophecies is this. You guys know, do you guys know Bugs Bunny? Have you guys watched Bugs Bunny? Yeah, you know, Warner Brothers. You guys know Wile E. Coyote? I always think of this like this, right? Whenever God gives a prophetic message, I always imagine Wile E. Coyote driving this, like sitting on a rocket, chasing after, who does he chase? The bird? The Roadrunner, right? He's always chasing Roadrunner off the, like, and we know Roadrunner is like fast, and right? He's going off, and he's riding this rocket, and he's going towards this cliff, right? And obviously, because it's a cartoon, you see the sign, cliff ahead, 1 mile, right? And Wile E. Coyote looks at this sign, he's like, whatever, you know, Roadrunner's ahead of him, he's going, right? Meet me, he's going. And not just 1 mile, right? At half a mile, 600 meters, cliff ahead, 400 meters, cliff ahead, 200 meters, cliff ahead. And all he can see is a Roadrunner in front of him. And then obviously what happens, the last minute Roadrunner just, and he turns. And then what happens to Wile E. Coyote, even though I like him so much, he rides off the cliff, the rocket explodes, he falls to his death, and boom, you know, he suffers all these sort of things. And so for me, when I look at God, I look at Isaiah in a message like this, we look at it as, why are you trying to tell me there's a cliff ahead? I don't need to know that there's a cliff ahead. I'm already looking at something that I'm going after. Why are you trying to turn me from something that I'm enjoying? Obviously, Wile E. knows he's going to enjoy Roadrunner. It's going to be delicious. You know, he always thinks of Roadrunner as this chicken on a platter, bird on a platter, is going to be the most delicious thing in the world. And he's saying, why are you trying to keep me from Roadrunner? But the truth is, God is not trying to keep us from the good things. He's trying to keep us from the pitfalls that us chasing our roadrunners is going to get us into, right? And I'm going to give this example, and this is not a judgment to anyone at all. But we in GIC we've been recently talking about God's guidance, and it would be, how great would it be? You remember Proverbs 3:5-6: Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on your understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him, He will make your path straight. And we started talking about how amazing would it be if God would just show up in front of us and tell us what to do. You know, it's like, it would be great. You know, this verse is great. You know, we have guidance and all these sort of things. But how great would it be if Jesus showed up in front of us and told us what to do? But I posed a question to my class, and I said, do we really think as Christians that if Jesus showed up in our lives, that we would do and we would let go and do whatever it is that He told us? And I mean, some of us would say, yeah, I mean, it'd be so much easier. We wouldn't have to figure things out on ourselves and stuff like that. And so I said, what if Jesus stood in front of you and said, I want you to sell everything that you had and go to Africa? Would you do it? Right? And I mean, obviously, they'd be like, okay, well, I mean, if it was that, I mean, it'd be more difficult, but I mean, I might be able to do it. And so, okay, what if Jesus showed up and He said, sell all you had and move to Moscow? Would you go? I'm not saying Moscow is a bad place, you know, or anything like that. But we realize it's difficult. And so why is it difficult? It's because we can't understand what God is going to do. And we don't understand God's message to us. And so we think that if God tells us, it's going to be easy to do. And then I suggest to them, is there something that God's telling you now that you're not doing? And they're saying, well, I don't think so. And I simply brought up this message to them, right? Same thing as Isaiah. Isaiah is trying to tell the people, look, turn back. There are things that you're doing in your life that just aren't good for you. Well, in the Old Testament, people had the prophets, right? In our day, we may not have prophets, but what do we have? We have the Holy Spirit. And so I asked them, is there something that the Holy Spirit is telling you right now that you're not doing? And obviously one of them is talking about, well, I've been watching Game of Thrones, you know, and should I be watching Game of Thrones? And if you guys don't know, Game of Thrones is a show, and it's crazily graphic. There's a lot of nudity in it. I only watched the first show. I didn't watch the rest. And the only reason why I know is because people tell me of it, and it's such a great show. And I was saying, well, do you feel like you really should be watching the show? And he said, well, I don't, you know, everything's permissible. It's not that big of a deal. But he says he feels like God's been told him, oh, maybe there was a check in his spirit that maybe I shouldn't watch a show. And so I told him, well, if you've had a check in your spirit, why do you keep watching the show? And he would argue that, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't really affect me all that much. It's not that big of a thing. And so if I was to look at that compared to Isaiah, and if you're listening to this message, totally not a judgment on you, just so happened to be a perfect example. John's smiling because you know exactly who I'm talking about. And so it's just an example, right? But the Holy Spirit in our lives tells us exactly what Isaiah is speaking to God's chosen people. Turn away, turn back. This is not good for you. Don't follow it. What you think is in front of you, these idols, these worship, these things, turn around. And so when we look at Isaiah and God's message of love, when the Spirit gives us a check, it's for our benefit, right? We look at Isaiah and think, God, why are you keeping us from the good things? When we can look back in hindsight, it's like, no. Isaiah was giving it to them as, look, turn around because you're going to get destroyed. Well, in the same way the Holy Spirit is showing us, we can think, well, God, do I really need to listen? He is trying to keep us from the very things that are trying to destroy us. And so if there's something that God is speaking to you in your life through the Spirit, if there are checks in your spirit about some of the things that you're doing in your life, listen to these checks. Because God is trying to keep us from falling into destruction, or keep us from the cliffs that are in front of us. The Spirit is like those road signs that are in front of us. But like Isaiah, and something I really want to make very clear is this, right? When Isaiah was preaching and prophesying to God's people, many of them thought that it was messages of judgment, right? And it's very easy to read this, right? God hasn't enough with you. God is going to do this to you. And God is judging. And I mean, obviously, He Himself is saying God is going to judge Israel for what they've done. But the truth of the matter is, God never brought his message so that they could be judged. I mean, if he brought his message so that Israel was to be judged, God never would have sent Jesus in the first place. If God wanted to send a message of judgment, he never would have sent his son to die for us. And so we really need to recognize that anytime God brings a prophetic message into our lives, I mean, it may sound like judgment, but the truth of the matter is he's simply trying to turn us from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. And so this really speaks to our lives into, you know, what happens in the church, right? If someone in the church is challenging you, and a brother is really speaking into your life, trying to tell you, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. Maybe you should watch out for this, right? Our response really shouldn't be like, hey, what do you know about me? Why are you judging me, bro? You know, you don't know anything about me. You know, how about you? Why don't you take out the log in your own eye? All these sort of things, right? Our response really should be, you know, really in our heart. I mean, it's tough to recognize, but in our hearts, we should realize that somebody loves us enough to challenge us in the way that we live. Much like God loved Israel enough to send Isaiah to them to tell them, hey, there's something that isn't right here. Because what the, and I hope that, I mean, when I do this, if I ever do this to you, this is, you know, or anyone else does this to you, my hope is that I don't do it out of judgment, and I hope you don't receive it in judgment. If I ever come up to you and I say, I feel like God is saying this, or this is something, I hope you don't feel like I'm saying it because I want to condemn you. But the truth of the matter is, all of God's prophetic messages, no matter if it sounds harsh, like a judgment that Isaiah gave, or if it sounds nice and loving, the idea behind a prophetic message is always so that our hearts are turned back to God. Always. Always. Whether God calls you out on something, hey, are you tithing right now? Or maybe it's a, hey, God loves you. Whatever the case may be, it's so that we will turn from a self-centered life to a God-centered one. And so if this is happening in your life, right, whether it's the Holy Spirit or there is someone in your life doing this to you, maybe we should be checking ourselves. God, is there something with me that's wrong? Like, obviously not saying there's something wrong with us, right? But is there something that I'm doing in my life or a way that I'm living that isn't God-centered? Rather than trying to fight back and be like, no, you know, this is not the way. And this is the whole thing about what P. Sam is speaking of when he's talking about the LGBT agenda, right? About the whole, the check in the heart about, you know, before I say this, right, the caveat, even me talking on it, I feel like I need to give a caveat on it. I'm not, you know, this is not a judgment towards the sin of homosexuality or anything like that. But what he's saying is, the idea is they're unwilling, or the whole community is unwilling to say this is wrong in the standard of God. And this is the what he feels like, and I also feel like is wrong with the LGBT movement. It's not like, you know, it's not that we have a problem with the group itself, but it's because when we speak truth into that, even with love, they're unwilling to accept anything outside of their view. And so anything that we give, even if it's in love, even if there's acceptance, I mean, we've saying that, like, look, we accept, we understand that it's difficult. There's your sin is like our sin. We're all sinners, right? But the agenda behind it is they're unwilling to accept it. And so what they're making is they're trying to make sin into what is okay, right? They're making the darkness into light. And so when we look at our lives, and when we look at a prophetic message, and when we look at someone's wisdom in our life, and we reject it, and we simply say, no, you don't know what you're talking about, really, we're doing the same thing. We're saying, no, you don't understand my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. And like that LGBT agenda, I mean, we shouldn't judge, because we're saying, my sin is not sin, because I had to go through this. This is what happened in my life. You know, I had to suffer this, all these sort of things. When the brother or the sister is simply saying, look, we're not judging your life. We're not saying your life was easy, all these sort of things. All they're saying is, this is God's standard, and we should turn back. And so really, we should be praying for that. But there are people in our life that love us enough who are willing to do this for us. And so what should our response be? I mean, when this sort of thing happens to us, right? It should simply be submission. It should simply, I mean, even if it's not full submission to say right away, oh, okay, yeah, I fully submit to it. Our heart should be in a place of submission where we say, God, I don't understand, right? Especially if it's from the Word. God, I may not understand it right now. I don't understand why this is bad for me, but I'm simply going to do it because I believe that you are a God that loves me enough that's going to try to correct me of my sin. If you get something from the Word, I mean, if it's a prophetic message or if it's from somebody, I can understand why you would want to test it and to pray about it and to get counsel about it. But if it's something from the Word, you should just stop right away. You should just listen like right away. I'm not talking about if there's a prophetic, you know, that you should still test and pray through. But if it's something as clear as don't sin, you should just stop. Because we recognize that it is out of love that God speaks to us. And so let's close our eyes as Jeff comes back. All to say, really the point of my message at the end of the day, right? Whether it's Isaiah or someone giving a prophecy, there really should be a check in our hearts that says, God, am I living a Christ-centered life? That was the problem of Israel. They worshipped other gods. They worshipped themselves. They worshipped their wealth, their idols. They lived for themselves. And so Isaiah came and said, hey guys, turn back to God. Because that's what's best for you anyway. And so the same way I would say this today, are we living Christ-centered lives? Is the Holy Spirit giving you any checks in your heart lately about anything? Whether it's a show you should stop watching, whether it's a person you should stop seeing, whether it's taking yourself out of temptation's way, all of it is not to condemn us or to judge us. But God is trying to bring us back to the very thing that is the most beneficial to us, which is Christ Himself. And so why don't we have that check as Jeff leads us. God, am I living a Christ-centered life? Do I work as hard as I do in my job for you, or is it for me? Are the activities in my life for you or for me? Now, don't get me wrong, right? God wants us to experience life to the fullest. I'm not saying that we should give up everything, right? And just be hermits. That's not what I'm saying. But what is the condition of our hearts? Is the condition of our hearts to satiate ourselves or to satisfy the God who loves us? Because we know He loves us and He wants the best for us. And so let's sing and let the Spirit speak to you as we respond. Really commit our hearts to Him. Huh? Let's pray that His Spirit really speaks to us today. Why don't we do that? Let's lift up. Let's really ask God, help me commit my way to You today in all that I do. Turn our attention to our community. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer, who are going through chemo and radiation and surgery. Let's really pray for God's healing over them. I think Isaiah 53 is the perfect verse for today. Yeah. By His scourging, we're healed. So let's really pray that over them. Pray for those in our community who in need of salvation and also healing as well. Let's pray for God to bring the word of sozo, healing and faith over them. Let's pray. Pray for those suffering from non-cancer related issues. Let's really pray for God's healing. Let's pray that God will take away pain. Let's take away infirmity. Let's really pray for His providence over them in whatever treatment they're going through. Let's really pray. Pray for those in our community looking for work. Let's really pray for God's favor over them. Let's really ask God, His anointing, just be over, you know, whether it's phone calls or resumes, that just something about them that God, that employers want to hire. And so let's really pray for them. Turn to our mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray for our Beijing family. Let's pray for P. Hyunsu and Chloe as they're going through the city-to-city training right now. Let's pray for P. Sam, Kim, and also Annie as they're preparing to transition now. So let's really pray for covering over the church as the leadership changes. Let's pray for Jessie. She's currently in back in Canada just for a quick rest. So let's really pray that she'll be refreshed there. Let's pray for the Chong family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark. I pray for the work that she's doing with the drug rehab centers and whatnot up there. Let's really pray for the churches in China as well. So let's really lift up all of China, that God's going to do an amazing work there. Actually, let's pray for, I kind of feel led. Let's pray for all the areas that God's going to lead SP to plant churches, huh? Specifically in China, let's really pray that God's Spirit is already in those cities. Let's really pray that God's Spirit is already going to be working in those places, preparing the buildings, the people, whatever the case is. Let's really pray for God to start moving in those cities on our behalf, and specifically in China. Let's lift up the board. Let's really pray for covering over them and their families. Let's really pray for wisdom and understanding as they make decisions over the church, over the staff, and help with the direction of the help serve the direction of the church through PSAM. So let's really pray. For our hospitality ministries, let's really pray for welcoming in Bristol. Let's pray for more volunteers to come and join as we're in need of more people. Let's really pray for the leaders, pray for those that minister, oftentimes quite thankless ministries, as you know, as they're even as they're handing out Bibles and whatnot, people walk by and whatnot. But let's really pray for the church as a whole. Let's pray that we can become a welcoming team as a church, that everyone in the church will take on responsibility to make people feel welcomed and loved here. Let's pray. Pray for the men's ministry. Let's pray for their Monday morning prayer meetings, the Pure Desire group. Pray for women's ministry, Yama and Yamama. Let's pray for the leaders, Tyler, Amanda, and Kenny. So we pray God speaks to them, and through the ministries, men and women of God will be brought up. So let's pray. Pray for the Kupang mission trip that's going to be leaving this week. Let's really pray for Pastor Salomon and the entire team. Pray for covering over him, so specifically as a leader. Let's really pray for fruitfulness. Pray for spiritual protection. Pray for physical health. And just pray for all the logistics. Everything will be sorted out, and that God will be with them throughout the entire trip. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your messages of love, God, that come through your prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Lord. Even though sometimes it's hard to hear, God, we recognize, Lord, that the ultimate purpose, Lord, is not to condemn us, but to turn us back to you. And so, God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, when I've walked away from you, Lord, or even have not heeded, God, the messages, God, in the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us, God, to really love you, Lord, and to submit ourselves to you, not because, you know, we have to or we do it out of an iron will, but simply out of a recognition, God, that you truly are the best for us and that your ways protect us and uplift us and bring us life, joy, and peace, God. Shalom. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for my friends. Lord, I pray, Lord, for your covering over them. I pray, God, that today, Lord, as they go into their workplaces, God, as they go into their mission fields, that, Lord, the touch of your Spirit, Lord, will come upon them, and that they'll know that you're with them, and that they can commit all that they do today, Lord, and for the rest of this week to you and for your kingdom. And so, God, will you bless them, bless the works of their hands? Lord, will you open their eyes that they will see you, Lord, their ears that they will hear you, and their heart that will know you? Protect their families, God, their loved ones, their relationships, God. Will your favor fall on them in their workplaces, Lord, that they may be a great witness to you, Father. So we thank you, Lord. We love you. Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.